Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. As always, we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Going to be some interesting decisions coming up this offseason for John Robinson and the Titans, not the least of which, Joe Rexroad, will come on the offensive line. We've talked earlier this week about Taylor Lewan and Roger Saffold and the cap hits that they bring to the table and some potential moves that could be made on the offensive line. Now, we've not talked much about this week. I found Lewan's comments after the game on Saturday to be pretty interesting in terms of his future. Like, he's been talking a lot about that this year and asked a lot about, you know, what his future could look like, and he's been pretty open with that. I mean, he seemed to be, from my vantage point, pretty confident he's going to be back here next year when it comes to Taylor Lewan. Now, I don't know if he has any inside knowledge on that or if that's just hope talking at that point. Like, I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I came away from Saturday night thinking to myself, Taylor Lewan, awfully confident he's going to be back here next year with the Titans. And I'm not saying that there's not good reason for that, because if you get rid of him, all of a sudden you got a pretty big hole at left tackle. So it makes sense that Lewan would be back. He just seemed to be pretty darn confident that he would be after that game on Saturday, which surprised me.
Yeah, and so I don't know if I don't know if that's like some inside knowledge he has, but it wouldn't be, because, you know, you can't have these conversations, you know, with players. I mean, like, he's going to find out, you know, shortly before anybody else finds out. So I don't know if it's maybe a little bit of, you know, sort of speaking it into existence for Taylor Lewan. I mean, he's got to know that just the numbers, the deal, and the situation with this team and the cap means he's got to be someone who's under scrutiny, who potentially could be cut. But yeah, he sounded very confident. I thought those were very interesting comments too. And look, he made the case in the middle of those comments. He also made the case for himself,
yep,
which is, of course, the ACL, and he talked about a back injury off that, and how he feels like this offseason he can have an actual offseason of work to get his power back and all these things. So Lewan is one of many guys who is going to be of high interest. You know, John Robinson, I mean, tried to crunch the numbers, and, you know, he's got to find a lot of money here.
Yeah, and lots of decisions to be made. We talked about it earlier this week. Like, it's hard for me to envision a scenario where both Lewan and Saffold are back. So if Lewan is back, my guess would be that would probably mean Roger Saffold is not, or at least is not at the price that he's currently at this point. Now, then the question becomes, like, what do you do at left guard? Are you drafting a guard and putting him in there? Or is offensive lineman Dylan Radins going to take over at the left guard spot? Could he be the right tackle next year? I mean, there's a lot of this is going to depend on Dylan Radins and where they think he is and where they think he can play heading into next year. That's why, you know, it was interesting to see Vrabel answer the question the way he did the other day in terms of, well, we're not committing to right tackle. We're not committing to guard. He is offensive lineman, Dylan Radins.
Yeah, I think, you'll be surprised to know as we have this discussion. I put out my plan today at theathletic.com.
Yes.
You'll be very surprised. So I had some ideas, and one of them is that, like, Aaron Brewer, too, is a guy who I think may be the left guard next year. I think if things worked out the way the Titans would like, well, if they worked out the way they'd like, they'd love to keep Lewan and Saffold. But to me, Saffold is probably the guy who he's the more likely guy to be gone. And Lewan, I would keep Lewan. That would be my choice. I would keep Lewan. Hey, look, anybody wants to take a pay cut, great, you can try. But I would keep Lewan. It's one of the most important positions on the field. I would do that. But I think Aaron Brewer may be the answer. Yeah, you're right. Maybe they draft someone. I mean, you've got so many needs. And how many offensive linemen are you going to keep drafting? I think Brewer could potentially be okay there. And then you also, by the way, Ben Jones, a free agent. Are you going to re-sign him? I think Dylan Radins has to be. I think Dylan Radins has to move into the tackle area and stay there and be your right tackle. Kenny, will he be good? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I would hope by next training camp, the guy you drafted in the second round to play tackle would be ready. I mean, I'd hope so. If not, we got a big problem here. I mean, it's you would hope that he's ready at that point. I will say, I mean, the San Francisco game encouraged me with him. Now, I was curious to see if that would lead to maybe him being in the rotation a little bit more as they closed out the season there, and it really didn't. Now, you get your offensive line starters back, you're going to roll with that most of the time. But I guess you're encouraged if you're a Titans fan by the San Francisco game. He needs to be ready, and they're really, to me, once you get into training camp next year, like, I don't really want to see him in a position battle. Like, you need to be ready to be the starter next year. And if you're not, to me, that's a gigantic problem.
Well, on the same topic, some people would look at what he did in that game and say, okay, now you can move from Luan. Dylan Radins, starting left tackle. What do you say?
Well, again, I'm encouraged by the San Francisco game. Let's not act like he was out there dominating folks. I mean, he played better than I thought he would in that game. That's probably where I'll leave it at.
Yeah.
He played better than I thought he would.
Yeah, I mean,
he did not get totally destroyed in that game.
No, he did. I mean, there were a couple times like, he was left with Bosa, and I was like, wow, he actually did pretty well.
Yeah.
It's a small sample size, but, it's something. I mean, if not for that night right now, I don't know how much there'd be to go on with Dylan Radins.
Yeah.
I'm getting people – so one of my – I've got tagging Landry as, you know, as a strategy.
So which I think is very, very popular out there.
The point being made by Grant Brasher on Twitter, and I hear you, is, well, if you sign him to a long-term deal, you can make it so, like, the cap hit is lower this year so you can have more room, which I hear that. The question I have is just, you know, are you going to commit – to two huge contracts for each of your outside linebackers? Maybe. I mean, if you believe that much, I mean, you have already done it with Dupree, so you've done that. If you believe that much in Landry, you could. And his point is, you know, the cap in a couple of years is supposed to go way up. It's going up $25.7 million this year to $208. It's, you know, it's supposed to keep going up, so you could look at it that way. I mean, potentially. And, you know, you can restructure. So, like, I put this plan together, put in the caveat, look, there's going to be maneuvering that they're going to do, probably restructure some more deals, create more space. But even with that, like, you know, there are a lot of tough choices here that they have to make. Julio Jones, I think, is also one of the really hardest ones.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, I mean, let's be honest, on the offensive line part of this, too, you need a better season from Nate Davis. Like, when you start to list off disappointments this year for the Titans, and yeah, I know injury was part of it, COVID was part of it, and there's a thousand different things that were going on, but I thought Nate Davis in 2020 was on the verge of becoming like a star guard in this league, and for whatever reason it just felt like there was a step back there this year. Now, I mean, you can still find some film out there of him mauling people in the running game, but you need to see a much more consistent, higher level of play from Nate Davis next year. He's going to be on the offensive line next year. I don't think there's any question about it. He needs to play better than he did this year.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys in that boat, too, who either need to bounce back from the or build on this year. Like Christian Fulton, can he build on this year and be even better? Monty Hooker, can he build on this year? I mean, I think that's been a really nice development for them. But another one I have is, what about linebacker?
Yeah.
Like, are you keeping the Zach Cunningham deal? You know, it's you can cut him for nothing. The way things went out, you can just move on, and it's boom, and that's $10.5 million that you would be paying next year. Plus the cap hit for him with his deal goes up so that it's like 13 in a couple of years.
Yep.
Now again, each year you can reevaluate on a lot of these things. That's how it works in the NFL. But is it? I mean, when you're trying to find so much money, I think Zach Cunningham came in and did a really good job. But is it worth that much money? Is that a place where maybe you need to be cheaper? Here's the thing. Like Rashawn Evans, I think is moving on. You know, Jayon Brown is moving on. But you could – I don't know what the market will be for either of them. Remember, Jayon Brown was moving on last year too. Didn't see what he liked out there, came back. Is it possible you could get one of those on a cheap deal? Then you got a hope right there. There's another hope for young players that Monty Rice is ready to actually be a good player. You may have to do that, as much as I like Zach Cunningham.
You might have to, although I will say, golly, that duo of Cunningham and Long is pretty darn good. I get it. It's linebacker, and you know, as we found out, you can find some linebackers for a little bit cheaper. And you did just draft Monty Rice, so I wouldn't be surprised if Cunningham was gone, but, man, I liked Cunningham and Long together. That's some good stuff.
I agree. Yeah. And, again, it's like as you go through these choices, it's also another reminder of, like, this was a good year to go ahead and make a run because you have some guys on the field together who may not be, again, on the field together.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more to get to coming up on the other side, including your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hey there. That's right, guys. If you're out there a little frustrated in the bedroom, Valentine's Day is approaching. If that gives you anxiety, we have a major medical advancement at Hillside Medical Clinic. It's called wave technology. We use the most advanced form. It delivers pressure waves through the skin into the blood vessels, which causes them to open up and regrow. That's a great thing. More blood flow. We've helped so many men get rid of their erectile dysfunction and throw the pills away.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this new technology?
Well, that's what's so great is this is not a theory. It's backed by 50 third-party clinical studies from some of the biggest universities in the world, some of the biggest hospitals in America. They vetted our technology. They tested it on men with even severe ED and called it safe and highly effective.
And Andrew, you have a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
That's right, guys. Put a stop to your ED in time for Valentine's Day. If you call us today, your treatments will be done by that date. Call us now in the exam assessment. Even the blood flow ultrasound, it's free this morning, plus a gift that produces immediate results in the bedroom. You'll love that. Worth hundreds of dollars. It's free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic today at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Vancouver Canucks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on February the 1st. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on Vancouver coming up at Bridgestone Arena on February the 1st. That should be an interesting one. Vancouver been playing a little bit better since Bruce Boudreau took over as head coach. So it's back to that, and I feel like this happens in the NHL more so than really any other sport. Sometimes you change the coach in the middle of the year, and team starts to play significantly better. It's weird how that happens sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, coaches get fired more, you know, I think it's still, right? I mean, it has been for a long time. Faster in the NHL than in – certainly in baseball, football, basketball in this country. And it is weird how it seems to make an impact. Is it just like because everybody kind of gets a kick in the butt like, hey,
better get going.
Right.
I guess so.
I don't know. It didn't really – I mean, I guess the Preds – I mean, they got into the tournament in Hines' first year. I don't know if they necessarily had a huge – but it certainly was better than the way it was going.
Yeah.
At the end of Laviolette.
Yeah. I mean, the Penguins have They fired their coach twice in the last 15 years and won a cup. Both years they fired a coach. It's weird.
We saw with the Blues a couple times, too.
Yeah.
A change make a difference.
So maybe that's your strategy moving forward if you're an NHL team. Just fire a coach halfway through the year.
Just plan a coach firing.
Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Shane from Ashland City texting in says, I'm going to get drilled, I'm sure, but I'm not even sold that Lawan is as good as he's paid. If you're a football player, it's easy to stand out in a group of people that have never played. The O-line sucks, and he didn't even stand out. We need Jake Long to come out of retirement and show these boys how to play. Nah. He lives in Nashville. So get out of here, Taylor. Let's bring in Jake Long.
There you go.
Jake Long is a good player.
I figured there'd be a lot of text line pushback on Lawan. There's the Lawan Haters Club is...
It's dwindled a little bit.
Think it's dwindled some?
At least according to text line right now. You said you wanted to bring him back. I was expecting a wave of, no, let him go. The podcaster's out.
Yeah.
I want him back for one reason and for one reason only. I want that announcement to come in next year when he's back in the game. Gotta have it.
How about next year? It's fresh off three interceptions, Ryan Tannehill!
So far, he's 3 of 9 for 3 picks. It's Ryan Tannehill back in at quarterback.
Back in the game.
Oh, man. Love it. I don't know. Do we feel like Titans fans, their minds have changed on Lawan? I mean, I think it's not really even arguable. He played much better coming down the stretch than he played to begin the season. Do we think that the perception of him has changed with some Titans fans? Wow. I don't know if it was the overwhelming majority to begin with, but there was a loud minority earlier this year that was, they were done with Taylor Lewan.
I mean, I know some people who watch this team regularly and just don't think he's good. I think there's a lot of reaction to the first game. Obviously, it was a terrible day for him. Also, obviously, and what he has said since, you know, maybe he came back too early. Bud Dupree said the same thing. But obviously, you had to account for that at least, right? The ACL thing. But I think that performance probably stuck with people. But I don't understand how, if you've watched this team over the last few years, you don't think he's good.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Heidi from Dixon on the text line says, if we want the same talent level, then we'll have to pay for it regardless. So why not leave Jones, Saffold, and Lawan and just upgrade at right tackle? Unless we're okay with getting worse before we get better just to save some money. This is coming from Heidi from Dixon. Well, the problem is the salary cap.
Yeah, you have to be compliant with the salary cap. You can't – I mean, other people that I'm looking at – I mean, I definitely look at Jackrabbit Jenkins – he was fine this year. I mean, I think that's where you look at the cost and it's...
He needs to be gone.
I think that's probably... It might be the easiest one. It's about $7 million of the 10 that you would save. And, I mean, look, you've invested a first-round pick in Caleb Farley. Just like Christian Fulton going to this year. Remember, we talked about it. Like, he's one of those important individual hopes that you have is that, okay, second year, healthy and good player and justify going in the second round. Well, Caleb Farley's turn next year. And that's not easy when you talk about coming off an ACL. I mean, Fulton had some injuries, but it's not an ACL rehab. Also, ACL rehab for a guy who's had multiple back surgeries, but they drafted him in the first round. So,
I mean, this time last year, we were getting ready to talk about Sciatica. It's been a wild ride for Caleb Farley.
It has been. But he's got to be one of those. So you have to know what's going on, obviously, things that we don't know. But, I mean, all he's doing is rehabbing now.
Yep.
So if you're the Titans, I think you have to put faith in that pick and move on from the veteran who just because you have to cut money somewhere. I mean, I'll be shocked if Lawan and Saffold are both back next year.
Lester texting in says, again, right guard and tight end were the weakest blockers, and the right side gave up most of the sacks. Getting rid of Lawan or Saffold would only make the offensive line worse. Add depth to the offensive line as well. Again, I hear you, but there is a money part of this that you just can't ignore. So
yeah, I mean, you don't want the offensive line to go backward. I get it. I mean, I would try to get Ben Jones back. On a cheaper deal, You know, he made $7.5 million this year. I threw in there, how about a one-year, $5 million deal for Ben Jones? How about that? You don't want it to get weaker, but you know, this is where you need you can draft. You can go out there and try to find someone for cheaper. I think Aaron Brewer is a guy who potentially could elevate and be solid there. But that's why, to me, when you talk about you don't want it to get weaker, that's why I'm paying Lawan. I want Lawan staying if I'm the Titans. Like, then you're really, really weakening your line if you get rid of the most important position. A guy who is, when he's at his best, to me, is still one of the better left tackles in the NFL. When he's at his best. Will he be next year? He did get better this year.
Matt from Camden texting in says, what if they were to draft a Cade Mays in a later round? He could play guard or tackle, and I think he'd be a steal in the fourth round. If he could stay healthy, he could come in and play right away. I don't know that Cade Mays is going in the fourth round. Like, I think he may go fifth, sixth. Like, I think Tennessee fans, just personally, wildly overrate Cade Mays. I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
I think he's an NFL player.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we just saw Trey. Now, I get it. It's totally different reasons that Trey Smith is. It was the blood clots and the health concerns. I get it. By the way, all rookie team, Trey Smith.
Yep.
But he's winning the sixth round. Like, to me, Cade Mays is a good player. I kind of think Cade Mays should probably come back for another year of college. That's just me.
He was looking for an NIL deal.
I know.
Yeah, but to answer the question, him or there, I'm sure the Titans will somewhere in the draft try to pick up a young player, and probably in the interior if they do move on from Saffold. I mean, that would correspond with that. You know, if I'm guessing right, then it would correspond with that. So, you got to try to hit there. But again, you've struggled to hit with your high picks lately on the offensive line.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's – I would not be surprised if their first-round pick this year is, again, on the offensive line. I don't think that'll go over very well with Titans fans if that happens, but, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. Like, you know, obviously, like, some Titans fans are going to be so mad if they don't take, like, a quarterback in the first round. Like, right now they're picking at 26th. So, like, is a quarterback that you're going to want, is it going to be there at 26 in the first round? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, you could trade up. You already don't have a second-round pick, so what all are you going to be using to trade up? I don't know. If your plan for the Titans is for them, like, to draft the quarterback of the future this year, they're in an interesting spot for that. I guess you could just hand off first-round picks for the next few years.
Well, that's – I mean, I think you'd
– Then you can't get Aaron Rodgers. How do you do that?
Yeah, you may have to if you want to move up, if all of a sudden you've decided, you know what, got to get the next QB and this is our guy, well, yeah, future year picks may be in play there. More likely, you're picking someone to – I think you're picking someone on the offense. Question is where. I threw out the Linderbaum. You could be your center for a long time. If he is there near the end of the draft, I also Dotson, the Penn State receiver.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Junie has made it very clear that the Steelers are taking Lindenbaum.
Oh, is that right?
You said it yesterday, and he was like, no. Titans can't have him. I was like, you need to relax.
Well, don't they first need to find somebody that can, like, be a thrower of the football?
A quarterback? Yep, they're probably going to need to find that.
Yeah.
There'll be one of many teams looking for that.
Robert in Nashville texting in said, y'all are acting like we're going to have draft picks and that we're not going to be trading the next three drafts for Russell Wilson. I'll play Rob. Maybe they will be.
Just trade the entire – just take our entire draft board. You can even look at, like, how we evaluated the draft board. Just give us Russell
Which
Wilson.
Which, in recent history, like, yeah, take a look at it and then maybe do the opposite of how the Titans have evaluated the draft board.
That
just
is
saying.
Fair, too. We're not saying you should follow it. We're just saying here's what we have.
What you can look at. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tennessee Titans, think about it. You got two awesome running backs. You got a receiver that's in his, you know, getting ready to hit his prime. You have another receiver that's still solid. You got another smaller receiver that's good. You got a decent tight end, a front seven that's stout. And you got a player-friendly head coach that understands how to win championships O-line. Because he's done it. Mm-hmm. The offensive line is solid. I can give you Ryan Tannehill and whatever picks you need. You want 22, 23, 24. And you can have Ryan Tannehill. He becomes your Alex Smith. And I can have Aaron Rodgers in return. I can now convince Aaron Rodgers that he is the top all-time quarterback in the history of the Tennessee Titans, or even the Houston Oilers for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that one? Hey, look, in a bad division.
That was Keyshawn Johnson earlier today discussing Aaron Rodgers maybe to the Titans. I have many questions.
It's a big selling point. Aaron, you're the best Titans quarterback ever. What do you think, buddy? Huh? What do you say?
Thanks.
Oh, good.
Top five quarterback to ever play the game, be the best quarterback for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who is the small receiver that the Titans apparently have that's very good that that Keyshawn was talking about there?
I assume he's talking about Chester Rogers?
I guess.
Right?
I mean.
Cam Batson? Let's not forget Cam Batson, everybody.
Yeah.
He was hurt this year. Good player. Cam Batson would have been making a lot of those plays Chester Rogers made this year.
Yeah.
Had he been healthy.
Maybe Keyshawn was talking about.
I don't know. Maybe he forgot.
I don't know. I just heard that
Raymond
like,
went to the Lions and he didn't.
I was like, okay, they have A.J. Brown. They have Julio Jones. Who in the world is the small receiver that's apparently all this productive? Good tight end, apparently. Anthony Firkser, good tight end. He's wide open on that play. Tannehill, all you had to do is hit him.
That's true.
Bet Rodgers would have hit him there.
Do you have any catches in the playoff game, Firkser? I don't think you did. Did he?
I don't think so. I mean, it's an interesting idea.
He's right about
Keyshawn's
the
all in
division.
On the Aaron Rodgers, the Titans.
So
then they'd be talking.
So
about
he
the
sounded
every
like
day.
Yeah. So he's saying three first rounders plus Tannehill,
correct?
Or Tannehill?
Tannehill. Yeah.
Too many people are still struggling with Tannehill.
There's a lot of struggling.
Of course,
going
now
on.
I guess you can just call him Tannehill if you want.
Yeah.
What can he say anymore?
I mean, what'd you call him the other day? Dalta Hill.
Yeah, well.
Downhill, right?
Well, I've got to stop with the puns. It's like a week of making up puns at Ryan Tannehill's expense. Well, I put a TM next to this, too. I have trademarked this. Hashtag Downhill.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Downing and Tannehill.
Pretty good.
Hashtag Downhill.
Going to have Mike Sando from The Athletic come up at 9 o'clock. Interested to get his thoughts on Tannehill and what the Titans do moving forward. That'll be interesting.
Yes, he's got a lot of thoughts. And Sando, who, of course, covers the NFL for us, but he also is very tied into Seattle. He lives in Seattle. I mean, he knows that organization probably better than any and probably as well as anyone. So he should have some good insight on the – we haven't talked enough today about the Russell Wilson trade. We're talking about the Aaron Rodgers trade.
You're going back to Rodgers.
But we have not talked enough about the Russell Wilson trade today. Let's not – I mean, Russell Wilson's going to get sad if people are only talking about Aaron Rodgers to the Titans and not Russell Wilson to the Titans.
This is interesting in terms of, like, the price breakdown. And it's – I get it. It's not a linear thing. And just because Matthew Stafford was worth this doesn't necessarily mean in a year later, so-and-so is worth this. But it is interesting. Like, if Stafford got two first-round picks and a starting quarterback, like, what could Russell Wilson get? And if Russell Wilson gets X amount, what does Aaron Rodgers get? Like, I'm trying in my mind to come up with the answers to these questions. Like, Charles Robinson said the other day, three first-rounders for Russell Wilson. Well, if Russell Wilson's worth three first-rounders, what's Aaron Rodgers worth?
So Matt Stafford gets two, Russell Wilson gets three, Aaron Rodgers get four? Is that how it goes?
Maybe. That's a lot of first-rounders, man. Good gracious.
I mean, if you're the Packers, if you know you got two first-rounders every year for the next few years, that feels good, yeah. I guess, if you have to say goodbye to them anyway.
Devin from Dover texting in says, Keyshawn probably thinks that Adam Humphries is still on the team. Maybe.
Yeah, possible.
I heard that clip, Kendall and I was Wright. Just like, what is he talking about? Who is the small receiver the Titans have that are good? calling A.J. Brown small?
Yeah. He's got to be talking about Chester, right? He's got to be.
You think Keyshawn Johnson knows who Chester Rogers is?
Well, I'm just saying small. He didn't name him. Right. He didn't name him, but he watched like three plays and he saw a small receiver who made a three-yard catch on a screen that later became a pick.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, Keyshawn is the first one nationally that I've heard say, hey, Rodgers to the Titans. There's been a lot of Rodgers to the Broncos, obviously. Rodgers to the Colts. Rodgers to the Steelers.
Orlovsky, you know, Orlovsky put out there sort of the he listed a bunch of teams, including the Titans.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're in the mix. That's the thing. Keep in mind with all this, everybody, is there's a lot of teams who really, really would love to somehow find a way to get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson on their team. So all that does is increase the cost.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the cost for a Wilson or Rodgers is high anyway. What happens if what Charles talked about on Tuesday happens and it's just like a bidding war? Like, it's just,
right.
Let's just keep driving this thing up.
Why wouldn't, like, at what point why wouldn't it be?
I know. I got a texter that says, I say look at the Titans schedule next year, and it makes you wonder if having Tannehill can get the Titans back to the playoffs. They can get back to the playoffs. If you play in this division, as is, and Carson Wentz is the quarterback of the Colts, and you still have the Jags and the Texans.
What if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback?
He missed playoffs.
Well, they do have – I mean, that's one of the downsides of you know, the NFL, just like the draft. You know, you get the lower pick of the better – record, and you you play a first place schedule if you finish in first place. So there are some tough ones on the schedule for sure. I think they go to Buffalo.
They go to Green Bay, but if Rodgers isn't there, you could be playing Jordan Love.
Ryan Tannehill.
Could be playing
Ryan
Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill revenge game in Lambeau.
In Lambeau.
And if the Tannehill low temperature trend continues.
It'd be a big day for the Titans.
I mean, but seriously, if you're the Packers, first of all, again, like, I'm just – like, all of this, trying to wrap your head around the Packers, even just taking on Tannehill is just hard to even get there. But wouldn't you, if you're them, also say, gosh, that guy never wins in cold weather, but we want him to be our starting quarterback?
Okay.
Yeah. He can start in September, then we move to Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Also, imagine moving from Nashville to Green Bay. That'd be pretty tough.
Yeah.
Green Bay's got a nice gas station, too, up there. Cool neighborhood.
There's a great burger place. I forget its name. There's some great cheese curds.
Brett Favre's got a restaurant up there, doesn't he?
Man. I've eaten at the Brett Favre Steakhouse before.
Yeah.
It was very average.
I'm sure it was.
Average. Yeah. Like him. No, I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
I'm just kidding. He was a very prolific player. He shared a lot in his life. He shared many things.
Yeah. Moving on.
By the way, they're at Kansas City.
Yeah.
They're at the Chargers. Schedule
is very – it's interesting next year for the Titans.
Got the Raiders coming in here. Got the Cowboys coming in here. But actually, you know, another thing that about next year that does play in their favor is the NFC crossover division is the East.
Yeah, that helps.
So you get some nice Eagles and Washington.
Give me a little Nick Sirianni action.
You know, so that – yeah, they should make the playoffs next year.
Ben on the text line says, and the text just went away, so I'll have to go find that again.
What'd you say, Ben?
I think it's more the app kind of screwing up at the moment.
Okay.
That's okay.
I say, did Ben put like a – it's like a Snapchat thing?
Just you disappears.
Is that like a tribute to Favre, the Snapchat post?
Oh, my gosh.
Michelle has no idea what we're talking about. Look at her.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, we'll tell you during the break, but yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah, you should be.
It's probably
exactly
what you think.
If you ever see Brett Favre, be scared.
Oh, God. Jared Stillman texting in says, Russell has a no-trade clause, which makes a bidding war hard. If he decides he wants to go to one place, then he won't accept a deal anywhere else. Hard to raise the price. That's what we were talking about the other day. Like,
well, he put out a list
last year.
Right. Or he didn't put out, but, list came out.
Well, then my favorite part last year was, I never requested a trade. Well, I guess technically you're right. You didn't. You put all this out to your agent.
Right. It's like the coach, I haven't talked to Texas A&M. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, maybe
my agent talks a lot to people.
If Russell wants out, to me, like at this point in your career, if you're a Rodgers or a Russell Wilson, I realize they both won a Super Bowl. But, like, to me, if I'm Russell Wilson, don't you want to go somewhere that you feel like gives you a pretty good shot to win a Super Bowl? Like, that's why I know it was on the list, but, like, the Chicago Bears thing last year, I was like, really? That would be interesting. Who are you throwing the ball to?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the Bears, well, but the Bears were, the perception was a little bit of, wow, what a defense. You know, you add a couple skill pieces and a great quarterback, because they've had terrible quarterbacking and they could be good.
I mean, I guess, but their defense really hadn't been that good the last couple of years.
Well, right. Khalil Mack's also been hurt.
I know.
So, I'm just saying, like, you could probably, with all but probably like five or six teams in this league, you could probably, you could imagine it, you know, that there's something good about it. But, yeah, a team like the Titans, much more ready-made than a lot of others at this point.
So maybe he makes Russell's list.
Maybe. The new list. Let's have the new list, Russell.
Yeah. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Preds in action tonight, taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, to have your opportunity to guess a goal score tonight for the Predators. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight on the road, taking on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers. Puck drop at 8 o'clock, pregame at 7 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. Things tightening up in the competition, pun intended. Listeners have taken the lead again with Philip Forsberg's goal the other night. 11 correct answers in first place. Joe Rexrode in second place with 10. I have creeped up to 9.
Ooh,
9.
Gosh.
Right behind Rexrode in the competition. Michelle,
you're on a heater.
I've done pretty well lately. Michelle at 4, not out of it. Still plenty of hockey to be played this season.
Yeah,
plenty of
Ellie hockey. Ellie Tolvanen is just not even on the trip, so maybe I'll pick
would
somebody
not
else
select
who's
him
not on the trip
this time around.
Let's examine the roster and pick someone on the roster today.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ricky, today's participant. Ricky, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road. Who is your pick to click for the Predators against Edmonton?
I'm going to keep it going and go with Philip Forsberg.
I'd say that is probably a pretty good call at that point.
Let's think outside the box a little bit here, folks, huh? Come on.
Ricky, we appreciate you calling in.
Oh, thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely. We're at a competitive disadvantage here. Forsberg, 21 goals, 31 games. Oh, boy. Forsberg is off the board, but have no fear, Joe Rexrode. You're up first
today.
Matt Duchene.
Thank you.
Wait a minute.
We didn't even get a Joe Rexrode, like, talking himself through a pick.
Yeah,
there.
I'm trying to be more.
Robbie, I'm curious as to how we do this rotation, because I thought the person who was last then goes first for ours.
Well, we started it that way, and then halfway through the season, I think the day I missed, y'all went a different way. So then I picked it back up from where it was, and now it rotates up.
I trust you, Robbie Stanley.
I promise. I've got a list.
To. Okay.
I promise.
Am I next?
You are.
Okay, good.
So Forsberg and Duchene are off the board.
I remember I was last time. I'm going to go with Ryan Johansson.
Oh, going back.
Okay, we're going back to the roots. He didn't score last game. Oh, come on. He's going to score. You know, I'm not even going to say anything else. He's going to score.
It's 6:49 in Edmonton. Let's hope he's still sleeping right now. And not,
I can
not
guarantee
streaming
you he's still sleeping. I promise you that he is still asleep out there. Forsberg, Duchene, Johansson off the board. Give me the defenseman. Give me the captain. Josi, power play goal tonight. Roman Josi on the board. When we come back in here tomorrow, I will be tied with the Rexrode. Josi scores tonight. Duchene doesn't.
And I will be at 5.
Michelle will be at 5.
And the listeners, well, I'm sure, will be at 12.
I'm sure they'll be at 12.
Forsberg will score again.
If it gets to a certain, like, if we get to a point a couple weeks down the road, and it's Forsberg every time for the listeners, we may change up the rotation a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Or no picking Forsberg.
Oh, so it's
just
like
outlawing Forsberg?
Well, that's like
when
a classic rock, my classic rock station in Virginia, would every summer they do the top 300 songs. I think I've told you guys this before.
Oh, yeah.
But Stairway to Heaven and Freebird, they play them at the end, but like they aren't even
not in the
part of it. Yeah, they can't, because I think listeners vote, you know, but it's like those two are,
they're just on another level.
Yeah,
it's on another level.
So you could do the same thing with Forsberg. He would be the Freebird And I don't know. Would Forsberg as Freebird?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it too.
Philip Freebird Forsberg. Yeah. There you go.
It goes with that nice goal he had.
Do you know
the
song? Freebird, I bet he'd like Leonard it too. Skinner? Do you know the song Freebird by Leonard Skinner?
Probably. Probably.
We may.
What do you think of when you think of Freebird? I think of Forrest Gump. I just think of Jenny. Just standing.
I know what love is, Jenny.
Yeah. Oh, great movie.
I don't think of that. I just
and I have
know.
Seen that movie just to throw it out there.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
that's good.
Step ahead of Porth. That's good.
I don't know what I think of. I love Leonard Skinner, so I just like to jam some Freebird, man. You know?
It's a great song.
Play some Skinner. And then Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. You know this song?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Oh, you weren't asking me
is
that
Matt
question.
Matt Duchesne Stairway? Yeah, I expect you to. You're an old soul.
Yeah.
Matt Duchesne is Matt Duchesne as Jimmy Page. There you go.
Maybe so. We'll see if the Predators can keep it rolling tonight. I mean, obviously, this is an Edmonton team that has I say they have a lot of talent. They got some great talent in two guys.
It's condensed. It's pretty condensed.
Yeah, I mean, goaltending-wise, they've just been a mess. Now, they did get a big win the other night in overtime, so we'll see if they could keep going that way here. But obviously, lots of attention if you're the Predators tonight going to be paid to number 97 and number 29 on the other side, McDavid and Draisaitl.
I feel like the Preds haven't played great against Edmonton.
Well,
in recent years.
In recent years, it's been a little different. Like, I mean, think about
Pecorino used to beat them.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he used to destroy them. I mean, Edmonton could not score against Pecorino. Now, that changed. I mean, look, the obvious one that stands out, and they've already played once this year up in Edmonton, and Edmonton won that game. That was really early on into the season. But the one that stands out was, you know, a couple years ago when they walked in here. It may have been the night of the tornadoes that came through here. And Draisaitl McDavid just, I mean, annihilated.
8-3, right?
Yeah.
8-3. And so, and that's, by the way, four straight. And that's in those four games, 13-6. So in those four games, they scored 20 goals.
Yep.
So four straight wins over the Preds, and they've averaged 5 goals a game. Of course, the 8 helps, but still, they had a 5, a 3, and a 4 in the other three. So. Preds need to turn around. Their last win over Edmonton was February of 19.
Yeah. Dennis texting in says, Philip Forsberg, just combining.
Nice.
The Freebird and Forsberg. I like it.
I like the Freebird Forsberg better.
Yeah.
Just two words. I've also never heard that song.
Heidi.
Did you just listen to it? What?
You got to get pretty deep in there to get the recognizable part, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long song.
It's,
I mean,
like,
the guitar solo is
like
4
minutes.
Minutes. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Heidi from Dixon texting in says, you know, going back to your top 300 songs and bands conversation, why aren't the Food Fighters on another level? Not the Foo Fighters, the Food Fighters. It never gets old with Heidi.
No, Heidi. Now that's Heidi bringing out a classic right there. That's playing the hits.
Ron on the text line. Sorry, Joe. Nobody wants to listen to a 13-minute song, Stairway to Heaven. It's coming from Ron.
Yeah, we do, Ron. Yes, they do, Ron.
Some long ones.
Remember when Joe came back from a break? You were doing the top 50 songs or something?
Like top 500.
Top 500. And somehow you made it through the whole show. And then you got to Aretha Franklin, Respect, and you were just so disappointed at number one. You're like, oh.
I mean, it's a great song. You know, it's I mean, I would probably have – what would I have, number one? I don't know. It'd probably be a Beatles song.
I'm sure it would.
Yes. But they were all over the top, you know, 100, so.
Trash.
Actually, yeah, okay. Actually, Freebird. Yeah, I might put Freebird up there.
Freebird's pretty good. Freebird is better than the Beatles. Can we agree on that?
No.
Okay.
But we love it. All people love it.
I will say, every time we have this conversation about the Beatles – I get like 50% of people who text me are like, yeah, you're right. They're terrible. And then the other 50% are just irrationally mad at me. Very mad at me.
I'm sad for you. I'm not mad at you. I can't be mad at that take.
It's a more popular take than you think it is, according to my text line.
Right, but it's people who haven't actually listened to them. Like you.
John the mailman texting in. Hot take. Led Zeppelin is super overrated. They're fine. That's coming from John the Mailman.
God, we don't need
this. Think of that.
We don't need this show to turn violent, okay?
You are an eagle.
It's been a rough week. Yeah. It's been a rough week in Nashville, sports talk. So Don't start ripping on Led Zeppelin right now. Is Ryan Tannehill
the Beatles of quarterbacks? Just overrated?
Oh, God.
Can't come up big when it matters the most.
Yeah, like I can't even.
The boss texted us.
I don't care. Jay says, Robbie, your Beatles slander won't be tolerated. Yeah, well, whatever. It'll be all right.
Chase likes the Beatles. So there's an example of a young person who's actually listened to the Beatles.
I've listened to it plenty of times. Not my cup of tea, man.
He also likes Tennessee sports.
Yeah.
Wow. Lots of
that's a shot.
Choosing a lot of violence this week.
There's a lot of violence. When we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Sando from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on Ryan Tannehill and maybe what the Russell Wilson situation could look like in Seattle as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.